Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am Jordan Patswold. Once a month, we get to talk with representatives from the Sunrise Health Region about a variety of different topics. In the past, it's been flu immunizations, and well, today we are actually going to be talking to a familiar face and a new face as well at the same time. Dr. Chetri, Medical Health Officer, as well as Deanna Bartok, HIV Strategy Coordinator with Public Health. And so to both of you, welcome and welcome back to the Rock 98.5. Great to see you both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So today's topic, HIV, hepatitis C, and harm reduction, all of this in one. So we're going to start with just the basics. Deanna, tell us about what HIV, what it is, and compare that to hepatitis C, the difference, mainly in both of what they are.
Sure. So HIV stands for human immunodeficiency virus. Mm-hmm. It means that humans can only get and give it. It affects our immune system, and that's our army in our body that helps protect against, viruses and other bacteria germs out there. It helps keep us healthy. It attacks the immune system, like I said, and it's actually carried in five bodily fluids, blood being one of them, semen, pre-semen, vaginal fluids, anal fluids, and breast milk, and it is transmitted via unprotected sex, sharing anything that might have blood on it, so any drug use equipment, whether it be for intravenous drug use, smoking, snorting, or sharing any equipment or ink for tattooing, and it may not be sterile equipment, and same with body piercing as well, and it can be transferred from an HIV-positive mother to her baby during pregnancy or birth if she's not taking any HIV medications. And again, it is transferred through breast milk. For those moms that are HIV positive, we don't recommend breastfeeding.
Obviously, what the scariest thing is what's happening is that a lot of people have but don't know. Correct?
That is true, yeah. So with both HIV and hepatitis C, you can actually have them and not really know you have it because there's not a whole lot of symptoms when somebody is first infected with both of those viruses. So testing is a big piece of it. Hepatitis C virus, it affects our liver, affects a different organ in our body, kind of transmitted similar to HIV, blood-to-blood contact. So again, through sharing anything with blood on it, including intravenous drug use equipment, smoking, snorting equipment, and tattooing, piercing equipment as well. And some personal hygiene items can also transmit it, razors, toothbrushes, with somebody that would be infected with hepatitis C.
So obviously, to avoid the spread, lots of things can be done. And I know we're going to dive into that a bit more as we talk a bit about it. And numbers, unfortunately, they grow in terms of number of people affected. But at the same time, there's a bit of light, if you will, at the tunnel, just in that treatment options now for people, that has come a long way, has it not?
Oh, it has, right? HIV is not a death sentence. You know, we're not still living in the 80s. It's not a death sentence. Treatment has come a long way, both for HIV and hepatitis C. And I think it's miraculous when I can work with HIV positive women who are pregnant and they don't transfer the virus to their baby because they take medication every day through their pregnancy. You know, so it really is quite miraculous what has happened with treatment and the possibility for folks. Like, it's not a death sentence. It's not the end of their life if they are infected with HIV or hepatitis C.
So with that, Dr. Chetri, those treatment options, really, again, it has come so far in the last few years. It used to be so many pills that someone had to worry about controlling the time of day when they had to take this and then a different time of day for this. Whereas now when it comes to treatment and someone finds out that they are HIV positive or they have hepatitis C, it's really become a lot more simplified in terms of treatment for people, correct?
Absolutely, Zoran, you're right. You know, so I just wanted to highlight, starting from hepatitis C, you know, first of all, what we know now is, no, actually, we have been knowing that, but then about 20 to 25%, say one in four people who got hepatitis C infection, the virus will go away on its own. So the virus will clear by themselves. But three out of four, approximately, will go on to the chronic infection, and then the virus will not go away by on its own. So until recently, the treatment for hepatitis C involved, you know, some shots and then some pills for about 6 months to 1 year. and then it had lots of side effect, and it the cure rate was 40% that time.
Wow.
But now the new medication, which works dramatically better, has about 95% of the cure rate with like low number of pills, just once a day, and then it's not for long, it's shorter time, you know. So overall, hepatitis C is curable.
That's fantastic news, just because, again, with the progress that has been made, that people can go through this treatment. And that's why it's so important. People find out their status, particularly those that maybe live that lifestyle that could lead itself to, well, potentially lead to an HIV diagnosis or Hep C. So obviously, when people, and it comes down to it, to determine whether they are, how do they find out if they are positive or do have one of these viruses?
So you know, first of all, we have to know that 1 in 5 Canadians with HIV, they don't know they have it. According to Saskatchewan testing, it's HIV testing policy guideline, it says that anyone who is 13 to 70 years old receiving primary or emergency care and they don't know, if they don't know their HIV status, should be offered HIV testing every 5 years at least. But that can be repeated as often as possible if there is a risk ongoing. So, you know, as Deanna said, you know, the only way to know for sure if you are infected is to get tested. So, if your family doctor or nurse practitioner, your care provider, offer you an HIV test, then do not get surprised, because that is part of routine testing, just like your blood glucose or just like your lipid profile, you know. So in Sunrise Health region, one can, if you and your family wants to get tested, you can go to your family doctor, you can go to your nurse practitioner, you can go to Turning Point program in Yorkton. We offer offer the Hep C and HIV testing, and you can call public health at any time for more information.
No, it's great that there are those tests that can be done for people, because obviously we want to know who does, because we want to be able to help them. And in terms of that as well, lessen the infection rate, because like we've been alluding to, the number of cases grow. But at the same time, when it comes to treatment options, there are certainly lots available to people. And as been shown too, once someone is on treatment, the less likely they are to then spread it to others.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the whole big piece of it. You know, certainly providing prevention options to folks, whether it's harm reduction supplies in terms of clean equipment for drug use, or, you know, safer sex supplies, condoms and stuff. But another big piece of it really is testing and then offering treatment, because treatment as prevention, that's really where things have moved along in the last 3 decades or 4 decades with HIV.
Well, and there's so many benefits to when people have those opportunities to have that. It's being shown that, like we said, it's going to reduce the number of people who have this, and obviously people who live about their life and have HIV but choose not to get the treatment, they potentially have that risk of, well, obviously it's dangerous to live that kind of way, to not do something about their own diagnosis. And also too, there's the risk that obviously an illness can become more serious, life-threatening, if they're not looking after those treatment options. And so it helps, obviously, you know, as we all pay for each other's health care, it all goes a long way in terms of making this better for all on multiple levels.
Yeah, you're right. You don't know what you don't know, you know? And I think if folks get tested and, you know, what that diet, if they're positive, negative, they can actually take precautions then to keep themselves healthy and keep the community healthy. So it really does help decrease the spread of HIV and hepatitis C if folks do know their status. And it just doesn't benefit that individual. It benefits the community as a whole. So
yeah. And in the past, I know too, just not even just hepatitis or HIV, there was a lot of stigma attached to people who it came to light that they were positive. And I guess the fear that people may have had then to be around that person, Can we talk a bit more about that? Someone hears that someone in their neighborhood is HIV positive. There's a lot of myths of the responsibility of people who are positive that, oh, they should have to tell me, or like, what is, I guess...
Exactly, right?
It's not something necessarily to fear, just in the event someone hears that someone in their community is positive.
Yeah. And certainly there's just a lot of fear about it. And I think there's a lot of misconception that really breeds that fear. You know, you can't get HIV or hepatitis C from day-to-day contact with somebody that's living with it. It doesn't, you know, they're not spread in the air. There's very specific ways that HIV and hepatitis C is spread. So anybody can hug and kiss somebody living with those diseases.
Right.
Everybody likes a hug and kiss every once in a while. And, you know, you just can't get it from day-to-day contact, you know. So sharing, drinking, glasses, water bottles, plates, forks, knives, I mean, you're not going to get HIV or hepatitis C that way.
Mm-hmm.
We know how they're spread. We really encourage people to get educated and dispel some of those myths and reduce some of those fears, right?
Right.
I mean, it's tough for folks that are living with those diseases as well,
yeah.
You know. And I, you know, certainly in the communities, we're there to support people, right? And not make them feel more stigmatized. But again,
right.
There's just a lot of misconceptions that, you know, are out there. And it really has to do with how it's spread, how you get it and how you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shaking somebody's hand, you can shake their hand. You're not going to get HIV.
Right.
You're not going to get it from a toilet seat. You know, it's very specific ways. So.
Right. And also, I just want to, I guess, dispel potentially the myth or have it further elaborated. I know particularly around this time of year, people get nervous because the snow covers all. Stuff like needles come
right.
The spring. Once that snow finally disappears, there's that fear. I know for a lot of parents wondering, oh, what should my child do if they come across a needle? Yes, I know they're not supposed to touch it. They should bring an adult over. But what if they did touch it? Is there, I guess, potential of them being infected with HIV or hepatitis because my child found a needle? And I know I told them not to touch it, but they still did. Should I be fearful? Yeah, should I be
absolutely.
Getting them tested? What do you think, Dr.
Absolutely.
Chetri?
This is the real scenario. So, you know, but then what we know to date, it appears that there has been no any infection from discarded needle, infection in terms of HIV from discarded needle in Canada, U.S. or Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So studies also show that, you know, having HIV or hepatitis C from discarded needle in the community is considered very low risk.
Oh, okay.
However, there is some fear about that. But if you are concerned, go to your healthcare provider and your healthcare provider provide some information and a follow-up plan. And then, as you said, you know, if you see those needles in the ground, then do not touch. Just call public health, and we will follow up what to do with that, you know?
Great. No, it's the best thing people can do, just obviously dealing it or leaving to the professionals or those properly trained with how to properly discard and take care of them. Still, again, tell those kids, don't touch, don't even think about it. I know they're trying to maybe protect their peers or something like that, but there is a way that can be done. Parents standing by in the area to making sure it all stays safe and everything.
Yeah, I mean, they're more of a nuisance than they are a health hazard.
Mm.
You know, they really are. And like Dr. Chetri said, the risk is really low if somebody would happen to get poked from a discarded syringe.
So in terms of HIV, hepatitis C, is this what we define as bloodborne pathogen infections? That's what this is all categorized.
Are, yeah.
So in terms of things that what Sunrise is doing, just as the interventions, if you will, what's being done locally?
Well, we do have a needle exchange program in Yorkton. We've expanded the operational hours to 5 days a week. We've expanded services out to CAMSAC. So we offer a variety of services and supports to folks that come into our programs. We do provide safe injection supplies, safer sex supplies. We collect those needles that people are taking from us. We give them the proper containers to put them in, and they return them to us. So they're not all discarding their syringes out in the community. In fact, some of our programs are actually collecting far more syringes than what we're actually giving out to folks. Mm. So I know there's some concern about that in the community, right? But we actually do a pretty good job at collecting those syringes, and we do educate our clients at the importance of bringing them back. And they're worried about that stuff too. They don't want anybody to be hurt in the community either. And again, you know, there can be a lot of fear around all of that, but you know, we provide their services to support folks and to certainly help reduce the transmission of HIV and hepatitis.
Excellent. Again, joining us on All You Ever Wanted to Know today, Deanna Bartok, and also Dr. Chetri, Medical Health Officer, and Deena is HIV Strategy Coordinator with Public Health. Now, lastly, the big key to, I know, for all of this is just making sure we really bring down that number of those that have HIV and hepatitis C and don't know it. Obviously, we love to bring down overall numbers with people who have it too, but ultimately, I think that's really the key, is those that have it and don't know it. We'd love to just bring that down more and more just because of the treatment options that are available for people, that it can be so controlled. So does it ultimately come down to early treatment, early prevention, much like a lot of other chronic conditions? Yep,
absolutely. It's no different than diabetes or heart disease. HIV is considered a chronic health condition. So is hepatitis C. We have the options of treatment and curing hepatitis C, like Dr. Chetri mentioned. And with HIV, really, it's taking those medications every day. And we're very fortunate to have Dr. Skinner come out to Sunrise. He's an internal specialist in Regina. And he comes out to our health region and sees folks who are living with HIV, hepatitis, and other infections as well. So folks have better access to treatment and care. It's just a matter of them knowing their status and getting tested.
Great.
Yeah, and then just to add on that, you know, so just to highlight again, you know, HIV is not terminal illness.
Right.
So people are still used to think that if you have HIV, you die kind of thing. It's not terminal illness at all. With the early diagnosis and early treatment, you know, there has been tremendous so reduction in AIDS, and they can live a healthy life, life. And then with, as you also said, so this is a prevention. Once you are on medication and your viral load is suppressed, that the transmission from you to other is almost to nothing. So the transmission is tremendously reduced. You know, so all we need to do is to get tested, and if you are positive, you will have medication, you will have some support from the medical staff and all other staff, and then life goes and it's as a healthy life, you know.
Okay, wonderful. And before we wrap things up, if someone wants to take that step, again, a reminder how one can get tested.
You can certainly go to your family physician, nurse practitioner, the Turning Point program in Yorkton with the sign building on Broadway,
public health nurses.
Yep, and certainly public health in Yorkton and out in CAMSAC at Stepping Stones as well. So if you have a question, you know, please call us at Public Health. We'll be happy to help you.
Well, thanks to both of you for coming in, talking to about this. I know, difficult topic. I know it does make a few people squirm, but it's a message that needs to be delivered and sent. So thank you again for coming in and talking with us on the program.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
It's All You Ever Wanted to Know on The Rock 98.5. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.